Awesome. How you guys doing, man? How you guys doing? Are you guys awake? You guys excited? You guys are doing a citywide conference in a couple weeks. No other young adult ministry in town is doing that. You guys are doing that. So you guys excited? All right. Well, one day I'll believe you. Awesome. Well, hey, it's great to be here. Liz and I, we've just been crazy people this year. God's just been doing a lot of things in our lives, and we've just been going here and there, and we actually slept in this morning, first time in like 3 months, and it was beautiful, and so that was how we celebrated Mother's Day. By the way, any mothers here? Any mothers? Any mothers? Any mothers? One. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother. I think we got two. We got two. Awesome. Great. Happy Mother's Day. If it wasn't for mothers, none of us would be here. And so happy Mother's Day, because I hope you guys all called your moms and did that. Awesome. All right. Well, I want to just go ahead and jump into the scripture tonight. I really felt that God's put a word on my heart. I just wanted to share with you guys here. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13 is where we're going to start. It says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you what this group of people right here, this ministry, is called to do, not just here in Austin, Texas, but around the world. I thank you that this group and this body are regular people, but called to do extraordinary things, not because of what they know, not because of who they know, but simply because they have been with Jesus. I thank you right now that as the words that come out of my mouth tonight, that will be full of authority, they'll be full of power, none of myself, God, all of you speaking through me for what this ministry is called to do and where we are going in the next year, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, to lift your name and to make it famous here in Austin, Texas, and around the world. Can somebody say amen? All right. Acts chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "Now the Lord consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Everyone say great boldness. "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." This is a prayer that the disciples prayed in Acts chapter 4 when they were doing some things in their city that was causing great revival and great movement in their time and in that part of the first century church. I love it that when Peter and John were first, there was a story, they were praying for a crippled man, and people around them were astonished that these individuals had experienced something or had been with something. These guys were not ordinary. They didn't have doctor's degrees. They didn't have a big rich family background. These guys were just normal people like you and I doing great things. And they were simply known because of them being with Jesus. That was the remarks that people around them noticed, that these people had been with Jesus. And while these guys started praying for the sick and started preaching the gospel, they got critics. There were people that started criticizing them. They had not only just got criticized, but people were actually making death threats to them. How many in here have actually gotten criticized before? How many in here likes getting criticized? Let me see your hand. Okay. No one should be. You like getting criticized? Awesome. Take some of mine. I have some critics. And so there's some things that I do and say a lot of people do not like or understand. Anytime you are living a life of boldness, anytime you are living a life of towards and walking with Jesus in a right way, people are going to criticize you. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, this was their prayer. "Now consider their threats, consider the threats of everything coming at them, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness and authority." And then after that, they begin to stretch out their hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of the Holy Servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were filled was shaken. The place actually shook after they were praying this and with multiple people around them. With the disciples, they started praying this. We know we're getting criticized. We know threats are coming at us. We know opposition is coming at us. But they started to pray, and the place began to shake. And the next sentence, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word boldly. That was the foundation of the first century church. That is a beautiful picture of what I believe the church, no matter what, whether we're in the United States or we're a church in Asia or whether we're a church in Latin America, that should be the stance of the church. No matter what opposition is happening to you or to me personally, that is our prayer. Make us bolder so we can continue to do the things that God has called us to do. That is the stance and the position that should be you personally and us corporately. After they prayed, the place was shaken. How would you like this place to shake? How would you like this place to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that only boldness could come out of your mouths? When I began to kind of study and kind of look and kind of break this whole story down to what enabled them or motivated these guys to keep doing what they did throughout the first century. And there's other great leaders that followed them. You know, we study the Reformation, Martin Luther and John Wesley and John Knox. John Knox is a very interesting story because he prayed bold, audacious prayers that actually scared the Queen of Scotland. The Queen of Scotland actually said, I am more scared of John Knox's prayers than I am of the armies of England and the armies of France that may invade my country at any moment. Let me ask you this question. What are your prayers scaring right now? What are your prayers scaring right now? These were men and women that didn't have church on a Sunday morning. These were guys, men and women, that actually birthed movements for the kingdom of God that we are experiencing right now, even to this day. These were guys that looked at opposition and looked at threats and looked at criticism as such as this is just kind of breakfast for them, in a sense. They weren't moved by it. They weren't shaken by it. They weren't disturbed by it. Why? Because they didn't hear a nice motivational tape. They didn't read a nice motivational book. They didn't have, you know, a TBN prayer line already on their smartphone ready to dial. They simply were in the presence of Jesus. That was their motivation. They were in the presence of Jesus so much that other people identified, you have been with Jesus. Three habits that I just want to talk about real quick that initiate growth and boldness in your life. The foundation for anyone that wants to live a bold and courageous life, and this is where it all begins, I believe it is a spirit of humility. A spirit of humility. Being humble. It is the process of self-awareness and self-discovery. The first step of boldness is being bold and honest with yourself. You can't go out and be bold about other causes you may be passionate about or other things that you love and be passionate about until you have been bold and honest with yourself. Self-denial is not humility. Self-denial is a form of pride. And when we look at, when we take a very good look in the mirror, we look at the different areas that are in our life, whether it be relational, whether it be financial, whether it be whatever is going on in our world, if we cannot be honest and bold with ourselves, with where we are at right now, and we know where we need to get to, we cannot go any further than where we know where we're at right now. And being humble is a process. People always will follow a leader who is always real rather than someone who is always right. People will always follow someone that is always real and authentic. One thing I love about Luke Koch is that he is real and authentic. We have conversations. One day he's blowing it up in the pulpit one day, and you could just tell. The next day he's like, bro, I just, you know, struggling with this. Can you pray? And I just love that because we do that to each other. And I love his authentic and his realness on how he is just not just with people in his world, but also just people with us. It's beautiful. But people will always follow someone who is real rather than follow someone who's right. Humble people never think they have it all figured out because there always will be someone better at it than you. You know, sometimes when you're doing ministry, sometimes you can kind of feel kind of discouraged a little bit because there's always somebody across town or somebody across the country that's doing a whole lot better at it than you. Well, here's the reality. Whether you're a singer, whether you're a writer, whether you're a salesperson, no matter what type of field, there's always going to be somebody that's doing it better than you. And so the hat or putting on the hat of humility does this. I will always be a student. I will always learn. I will always glean from people who are succeeding at things better than I am. And so instead of getting insecure about it, instead of getting jealous about it, let's go ahead and celebrate it so we can learn how to grow in that level. There's always going to be somebody that preaches better than me. There's always going to be somebody that does things else better than me. There's always going to be somebody that sings better. If you're a singer, if you're wanting to be a writer, there's always going to be somebody that's going to sell more books or is going to write better. There's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be somebody that's better. So don't criticize it. Don't be jealous of it. Don't be insecure of it. Celebrate it. Celebrate the strengths that are in this ministry with all the volunteer teams and all the leaders here. Celebrate the fact that somebody is better at it than you and learn how to glean from it. Always be a student. I don't care if you have a doctorate or a PhD or you're working on a PhD. There's always going to be somebody that's better than you. And whether you have graduated through all the things that you will graduate from, like getting a doctorate as being the highest level, in life, you will always, always, always be a student. Humble habits. Invest into long-term relationships. What does that mean? To keep yourself strong, you need to invest into long-term relationships, into people that will keep you strong. You need to have a circle of accountability. There are people in my life that call me out on my crap, and I am thankful for them. Now here's what this means. When one of my close friends calls me out on my stuff, and I've said, hey, I've given them the permission, because we have been such close friends, and I trust you, and there's that level of relationship. I give them the permission to do that. I do not, at the point when they call me out, or I call them out, and we just have that level of relationship, if they call me out on my stuff, I don't put the walls back up, and we go back to a superficial friendship just because, well, now they are exercising accountability, but I'm not liking what they're saying. And so many times, even in Christian circles, we do that. We say, hey, we like the appearance of accountability, but we don't actually like the function or exercisement of it. And so what happens is the relationship changes, and what was a long-term now becomes a short-term, and then things changes, and we all become superficial, and we see each other at church, or we see each other at the restaurant, or we see each other whatever, and we just smile and greet and do the nice Christianese fake thing, and how's life, how are you doing, what's going on, I know what's going on in your life, you know what's going on in my life, but we're too prideful to call each other out and actually get better and grow from this experience, so let's just keep on making what was long-term and what was beautiful and what was amazing, let's make it short-term so we can just keep superficial because we like the appearance of accountability and not the function of it. There's a lot of guys right now in ministry that were rock stars, keyword rock stars, doing amazing things that are not anymore because they liked the appearance of accountability, but they didn't like the function. If we are going to walk in humility and live a bold, courageous life, we have to invest into healthy, long-term relationships that make us better. Learn to say, I'm sorry. Man, I don't know how many times with Liz and with other closer relationships, hey, I'm sorry, I missed it. Hey, I'm sorry, I missed it. Hey, I'm sorry, I missed it. Establish a habit of confession. Hey, you know what? This is what's going on. Yeah, I gotta get open. I gotta get real. I just gotta say, hey, this is what's going on. When people don't understand why you're doing things or saying things or actually, just confess, hey, this is what's happening behind the curtain right now. And do that in a safe and open environment. People that walk in humility have no problem in investing into long-term relationships. They have no problem saying, I'm sorry. And they have no problem in establishing a habit of confession. 1 Chronicles 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. God is not speaking here to unchurched Christians or unchurched people. He is speaking to Christians. He's speaking to people who are following Jesus. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. How could they be wicked if they're following God? Turn from their wicked ways. Being jealous is a wicked way. Being insecure is a wicked way. Sleeping with that girl when you're not supposed to is a wicked way. I know some Christians that do all those things. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, I will heal their land. I believe that this ministry, and I believe that the leadership that God has put on Luke and Katie's life, and I believe this 512 conference is going to be something that's going to heal a big part of Austin, Texas. But the foundation of that revival, the foundation of that movement, the foundation of what God is wanting to do here must start with humility. That must be the foundation of everything that we do is through a humble heart. The second thing is, first one is be humble. The second one is stay hungry. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger. He humbled you, causing you to hunger. A lot of people are not growing in their appetite for the things of God because, one, they have not laid a foundation of humility, and they have capped their hunger for the things of God. Hungry people want to grow because they know there's another level to go spiritually. Hungry people want to stretch themselves. Hungry people want to dive into the Word of God more. Hungry people are wanting to go to another level. I travel internationally a lot. I'll be reaching my 23rd nation this year. And a lot of questions that I always get all the time is this question, and we kind of read about it in Acts. Why do you see more salvations, and why do you see more healings, and why do you see more of the signs, wonders, and miracles in other countries than we do here in the United States? I always get that question, and I think that question is a very good question, but it's also a very simple question. Or a simple answer to that question. And the answer is this. When you study the scripture and you look at the landscape of what of the church is right now in North America, in the United States, and when you go down to places like Asia, or you go and see the church and what God is doing in Latin America and parts of South America, the answer to that question is very simple. They're hungry, we're not so much. They're hungry, we're not so much. Because in Latin America, if you go to Peru, which I've been 3 times, you will go and you will find teenagers, 14, 15, 16-year-old teenagers, on their face, fasting and praying for God to move in their schools and in their communities. For 40 days. I was in Lima, Peru. It was about 9 years ago. There was a church, about 2,500 people, and the pastor was giving me a tour of their facility, and he said, hey, we can't go in the sanctuary right now because we have teenagers that are praying. I said, oh, that's great. I said, what are they? They've been on a fast. He's like, oh, how long have they been fasting for? 40 days. 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds fasting for 40 days. And then you ask, why can you go in and people get saved? Why do you go in and you see people getting healed? Why do you go in? Why? Because there is a stronger hunger for the presence of God than most of American-type environments here. I'm not saying all environments are bad. I'm not saying all environments, but there is just another level of God's hunger which creates an attraction for his presence. I think what we see in Peru and Latin America and Indonesia and parts of Africa and what God is doing in the underground church in China, I believe that those things can happen right here in Austin, Texas. I believe those things can happen right here at and through the 512 conference. I believe that these things can happen right in your back door. I believe that can happen in your workplace. I believe that can happen in your college campuses. I believe that can happen in your schools. I believe it can happen. Why? Because they started in the marketplace. Therefore, why can it not happen now? Be humble, stay hungry. One thing I'll end with this on the hunger part. I don't know if you've ever read the book Habitudes. It's by one of my good friends. His name's Tim Elmore. He wrote this book about 10 years ago. And he's been a big mentor in my life. But one of the principles in this book is called The Starving Baker. And in The Starving Baker, when you first hear the Starving Baker, when you hear that name or that title, you first kind of think of an oxymoron. What kind of a baker do you know that's starving? And as the story of the starving baker goes, the baker has been busy opening up his shop for the last 10 or so years, serving rolls, serving, you know, just breakfast type things, baking cakes, doing what a baker does. And when you first meet him, he's big, he's jolly, he's a baker. He's your typical baker. But as his customers keep visiting his bakery shop and coming in every single day, they notice something about the baker. They notice he's getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner, to the point he's getting seriously, dangerously thin to his health. And one customer stopped and said, "You're like skin and bone right now. What's going on? What's happening?" And the baker said this: "I've been so busy over the last 10 years feeding everybody else that comes into my door, but I haven't had time to feed myself. I've been busy feeding everybody else, but I have not had time to feed myself spiritually. I haven't had time to feed myself emotionally. I haven't had time to feed myself intellectually." And those are the three areas. If you want to be bold and be courageous and do what God's called you to do, you got to begin to feed yourself in those three areas and expand yourself and expand your world, learn from other people, get in front of other things that you can learn from and glean from. Feed yourself before you feed others. When you go on an airplane, they say, put the mask on yourself first, then put it on the child. Why are they doing that? Because if you're not healthy, if you're not getting oxygen, you cannot help anyone else get oxygen. If you're dying on the vine, you can't help anyone else, you know, get some wine or get some things that you're wanting to feed them. You got to feed yourself first. A lot of people get so busy in ministry, they volunteer for everything, or they get involved in so many different things, and they don't take the time to feed themselves. If you are not taken care of, how can you continue to bring God's word and do ministry and do whatever it is God has called you to do in your world? Feed yourself before you feed others. The third one and the last one is always hustle. Always hustle. Be humble, stay hungry, always hustle. Always hustle. Say, why? I've never met a bold, courageous person that is always just lazy. Proverbs 22, verse 29 says, "Do you see a man who is skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." Commit to excellence. Set standards, set goals that scare you to death. This 512 conference, this ministry has been around for a little over a year. This is a big, audacious goal to reach an entire city out of a ministry that's already been around for a year. That is awesome. I wish you guys were like more excited. That's a big, audacious goal from a leader who wants to hustle. The question is, will you hustle with him? Yeah. Set standards and audacious goals that scare you. Commit to it even when it's not fun. I bet there are days that Pastor Luke, it has not been fun being a pastor. It has not been fun being a young adults pastor. I bet there's been days that if you're starting a business or starting some type of project that you're about to embark into, I bet there are days where it's just not fun. I bet there are days where it's just not sexy. I bet there are days where it's just like, I can't believe I started or got involved in this. People who are bold, people who are courageous, they hustle and they stick to it even on the days when they don't feel like it, even on the days when it's just not sexy, even on the days when you're in the grind and you're grinding it out, even on those days. Those days are just as important, if not more important, than the days when you're getting and seeing the results. Because it's those days that produce the results. It's those days where nobody is seeing the grind, nobody is seeing the day-to-day, nobody is seeing all the sweat and the blood and the tears you're pouring into, whatever it is you're pouring into. Those are the days that impact. When we come to 512 Conference and we see a room full of people, that's because There's been a lot of grind, a lot of sweat, a lot of toil, a lot of work being put into it that nobody else saw. But a lot of people just want to show up for the party. A lot of people just want to show up for, oh, let's show up for when Social Club entertains me. And that's great. I love Social Club. But to get Social Club here took some work. It took some vision. It took some preparation. And it's on those days where you need to be the type of person that hustles and that moves, even on days where it's not really fun. Commit to completion. There's just, there'll be times where you just want to give up on that. You just don't want to follow through on it. Commit to completion. People always want to be bold. They only want to be courageous. And I believe this ministry and what God's doing in Pastor Luke and Pastor Katie's life and through what's got going on here, I believe this ministry is going to be a very bold and courageous ministry here in Austin, Texas. It's going to set a new standard for what young adult ministry has experienced in Austin, Texas. I think it's so interesting that Austin, Texas is the single young adult capital of the world, and yet this ministry is going to be the one to be setting new high standards. There really hasn't had a whole, and correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, but there really hasn't been a whole lot of vision for young adult ministry in this community. For a community that populates so many singles, you guys are carrying the torch of that. You guys are leading the vision of that. And what God wants from this house and from this room, from this room of the house, because we are one house but just one room. We're just one room of a big, larger house. What I believe that in order in preparation to see God move in such a powerful, powerful way in just a couple weeks, he wants you to be humble. He wants you to stay hungry. And whatever you do, he wants you to always, always hustle. This is not just for 512, but this is also for your personal life, for your own personal growth, for your own personal leadership. This is kind of the H3 leadership matrix, if you want to call it that. Humility, hunger, and hustle. If the worship team can come on up, we're going to close here. I just want to end. I know I've said a lot of things that probably have quirked you, or maybe have said some things that maybe have excited you, or probably said some things that maybe made you mad, maybe got you offended, maybe, I don't know. Whatever emotion you're feeling right now, I don't really care, but I just want to make sure Jesus is here at the end of it. As the worship team comes up, let's just take this moment right now. And as we start moving in over the next couple weeks, I want you to start thinking about what God is going to do, not just in your life, but in the lives of so many people at the 512 conference in the next couple weeks. Father God, I just thank you for every man and woman that's in this room. I thank you that we are not defined by what we know. We are not defined by who we know. But we are defined by, as a group of people who have been with you, who have been in your presence. Nothing else matters but your presence. Nothing else matters but your presence. Father, we thank you right now as we take these next few moments to worship you, that you grow in us a much deeper sense of humility. That we cast out all pride, we cast out all arrogance, we cast out aside all of these things, and we walk humbly before you, because true humility heals a land. True humility heals a city. True humility ignites revival. True humility sparks the move of God. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that we are being more humble. We thank you that we are striving to be more hungry. And with everything we do with excellence, and we hustle to get it done. In Jesus' name.
This attitude of worship, you bow your heads, close your eyes real quick. If you're here tonight and two things. One, if you haven't given